All right, so I talked a lot about sulfur, focused a little bit on sulfur and the polyhalite. One of the big pushes that we're trying to do in Virginia is trying to fine-tune our sulfur recommendations and make sure we got enough sulfur. So I submitted a proposal to the Fluid Fertilizer Foundation looking at different formulations. Right now, our primary form of sulfur that we get is either ammonium sulfate or 24003S, which is a UAN ammonium sulfate blended material, liquid material. There are some 28005S materials out there. We don't have them in our area, but there are areas that use that. And so we want to look at monkeying with that ratio. So 24003 is 8 to 1. And we knew using a different, not ammonium sulfate solution, which is an 8009S solution, but going with an ammonium thiosulfate solution, we could get that ratio up quite a bit without decreasing our nitrogen percentage. Because once you decrease the nitrogen percentage, you got to carry more material, more weight through the field. And so we wanted to keep the grower at that 24%. And this is just, sulfur is probably our fourth in terms of plant need for cotton. You have N, P, and K, and then sulfur is a big one. Our low CEC soils, we have low organic matter. We don't get a lot of sulfur mineralization through the growing season for our guys. Plus, we can leach it quite a bit. So we typically like our growers to manage sulfur as like they manage nitrate. However, it's immobile in the plant. So when you see sulfur deficiency, it's going to be on the upper portion of the plant. Plants can't remobilize sulfur and to newer growing portions. And then the flip side, one of the things that has caused this is the Clean Air Act. We've done such a good job of cleaning up these coal-burning power plants, putting these calcium scrubbers on these plants. We don't get the wet deposition from rainfall of sulfates that we used to get. And we'll get into a little bit more of that here in a little bit. So this is the wet sulfate wet deposition. This is in 1989 in the U.S., the dark brown, maroon spots, they equate to over 30 kilograms per hectare of sulfate being deposited across the landscape. The Clean Air Act, with these calcium scrubbers, we have done a phenomenal job of cleaning up the sulfur emitted into the atmosphere. And this is 2013. I haven't pulled up the recent maps. EPA publishes these every year. But as you can see, we're not getting the free sulfur. That sulfate that was falling on the landscape, yeah, it had some acidification effects, but it was free sulfur to our producers. We're not getting that anymore. And so we're starting to see more and more sulfur deficiencies creep in to cotton, corn, and wheat production in Virginia on our soils. So we want to look at where sulfur recs need to be and what materials can we use to make sure that we're applying sulfur at the right stage of growth and right rates. So we want to evaluate granular fluid in sources at varying S application rates. And then we took in-season NDVI measurements. I'm not going to talk a lot about those today. We did see some differences. I don't know if NDVI is the best way to look at sulfur deficiency. And I've talked with Tyson. He's doing some work with some camera work looking at different spectrums. I think we could probably weed out a different spectrum for sulfur and fine-tune it for our growers. But we also looked at petiole and leaf S. Right now, there is no official sufficiency range for petiole sulfur levels. Even though if you send a cotton petiole off to Waters Lab, which is in Georgia and North Carolina, they give you a petiole sulfur number. And I called and asked them, I said, what's your sufficiency range and where does it come from? They said, we don't use a sufficiency range. I said, what are you talking about? Why do y'all give growers this information to make sulfur recommendations and you don't have a sufficiency range? We use a nitrate to sulfur ratio. I said, what's that? And they were hesitant to give me it. So that's one thing we're looking at. Where does petiole sulfur thresholds need to be if we're going to use these numbers so they actually mean something instead of getting them back on these tissue tests? And then leaf sulfur. And then we also looked at cotton lint yield. And then we want to determine the effect of different sulfur ratios in the fluid fertilizer on the same across different nitrogen rates. So we had three locations in 2016. Again, this was a 17 treatment experiment. We wanted to compare granular and fluid. So we used urea and ammonium sulfate. at different levels of sulfur, and we adjusted the urea to get the same rate of nitrogen. Then we looked at 24003, 24006, and 24009S. That last one's about a little less than 3-to-1 ratio of N to S. And we use ammonium thiosulfate. I don't know if a lot of folks aren't familiar with ammonium thiosulfate, but that's a 12-00-26S solution. But we're able to get that, with that solution, we're able to get that sulfur ratio up there. Mentioned the petiole and leaf and NDVI measurements. We split this data set again into two data sets looking at granular versus fluid at four different sulfur rates, so 0, 10, 20, and 30 pounds of sulfur to the acre. And then we looked at the four fluid fertilizer formulations, the 32% and then the three 24% solutions at three different N rates, and the N rates were 60, 100, and 140 pounds of nitrogen. And our thought to that is we've seen issues where growers really run nitrogen rates up, don't apply sulfur, they throw the N to S ratio out of balance in the plant, and you exacerbate sulfur deficiency because of that. So here's our overall treatment list. It's pretty complex, but what I really wanted to highlight here, so these ones highlighted in yellow, these are basically what I would consider our grower standards. 100 pounds of nitrogen, 80 of that is probably applied at side dress, 10 to 20 pounds of sulfur is what our growers are doing. So if you looked at the 24003, which is our grower standard fluid source, at that side dress rate of 80 pounds, we're only getting 10 pounds of sulfur. And then I also have the sulfur ratios there down the right-hand side, the N to S ratio. So these blue are the first analysis we did. So we looked at the granular systems versus the different sulfur rates at the same at 100 pounds of nitrogen. So we had a urea plus ammonium sulfate, like I said, at 0, 10, 20, 30 pounds of sulfur. And then we took the fluid sources and we used the different formulations, so we had that same sulfur rate, and we compared those. The next analysis we did is we looked at these bottom treatments, where it was just the fluid sources at the different nitrogen rates, because we wanted to see when we apply more nitrogen in our high yielding environments, do we need to also have more sulfur in that formulation and up that sulfur ratio to keep that the NS ratio in that plant where it needs to be. So these are our planting dates, April 26th, May 10th, May 19th, and then our treatment application rates, dates June 27th, July 5th, and July 7th at our three locations, Suffolk, Southampton, and Lewiston. So on the right, and this is what I wanted to point out about looking at these different spectrums and these different indexes for remote sensing. On the right is our no sulfur, no nitrogen check block. And you see that, you can see a little pale yellow, it's shorter, it's stunted, that's no nitrogen or sulfur. So that's our complete check block. On the right hand, or on that left hand picture where it looks neon green, that's where we took 100 pounds of UA, 32% UAN, injected it without any sulfur, and we exacerbated that N to S ratio, and we got severe sulfur deficiency. But it's a totally different green. It sticks out in the field. My technician, about 2 weeks after we fertilized it, I was in China. And so I got back a week. He called me when I got back. He said, "We got a problem." This was at the Suffolk location. He said, "You need to go look at that cotton, because I know we put nitrogen on it and it's still yellowing." And I said, "Well, I'll go look at it." And when I got to looking at the treatments and making notes, I said, "Well, that's just sulfur deficiency. I wasn't expecting to see it stick out that bad." However, when we applied urea, granular urea across the plot, we didn't see this exacerbation of sulfur deficiencies, only in the injected. And I think that's just because when we band it subsurface, the efficiency of uptake in that banded application is so great that the plant's taking up a lot more nitrogen than it does from a broadcast application of urea. So getting into a little bit, this is something interesting. This is looking at the main effect of sulfur rate from granular and fluid fertilizer sources. We're just looking at sulfur rate and petiole nitrates during the first week of bloom. And I wasn't expecting to see this, but what we see, this is three locations, but at each location, as we increase sulfur rate, petiole nitrates decrease at the first week of bloom. And I don't know if that's because if you have sulfur deficiency, that plant growth's limited, so you have a concentration effect in terms of in the biomass increase. But we see a steady decrease in petiole nitrates as sulfur rate increases. And this is looking at sulfur rate at three locations, regression analysis. All three of these regressions are significant. You can see there's a definite, we'll get into a little bit but more of this in terms of yield, but the white circles are the Suffolk location. It was our high yielding site. That's Southampton. Sorry. But there is a difference in location in petiole nitrate levels or petiole sulfur levels during the study. But in general, as we increase sulfur rate, petiole sulfur concentrations increase. So then I want to look at I've done this with nitrogen and we get some interesting results. Looking at what's the correlation between petiole sulfur and leaf sulfur concentrations. And what we see is we get this quadratic response, not a great fit over all three of our locations, but it is significant regression analysis that we increase, as petiole sulfur increases, leaf sulfur also increases. However, one thing that struck me in this is the threshold at 0.25% in the leaf, that's the sufficiency range in our literature for leaf sulfur in cotton. Our check plots, which are those three lowest points around that 400 petiole sulfur, came nowhere near that sufficiency range, even though we know we had sulfur deficiency symptoms in our cotton at these locations. So this is one thing I've looked for Virginia growers. Are these sufficiency ranges close to where they need to be for our new varieties and the yield potential that we can secure with these new varieties on the market? And what we see even in nitrogen, even our check plots have higher nitrogen content, and we know they're nitrogen deficient. You can ground truth it in the field, see it, but yet they still come back above those sufficiency ranges. So this is the lint yield responses in Suffolk. Really, it was when we applied sulfur at 10 pounds, we got the maximized yields. The UAN typically had to, at the 0 pounds. Again, we exacerbated that sulfur deficiency, looking at the picture to the right, which led to that low yielding at the zero sulfur rate, whereas urea, we didn't see it. So there seems to be a source interaction going on with nitrogen and sulfur here as well, and efficiency of uptake. At the other two sites, you'll see these yields are a lot lower, around the 500-600 pound mark. We didn't see any statistical responses to sulfur rate at these locations, but I have a feeling this was due to the environment in 2016 at these locations and moisture more so than response to sulfur, because we did see visual sulfur deficiencies during the study here. So moving into these different fluid NS formulations, varying nitrogen rates, just going to go and talk about the main effects, looking at petiole nitrate. At all locations, when we increase N rate, petiole nitrates increase, especially from 60 to 100 pounds of N to the acre. And again, as we increase the sulfur rates and increase the percent sulfur in that fertilizer blend, at all locations, we increase those petiole sulfur levels in the plant. Looking at lint. At two locations for nitrogen rate, we saw significant response. At the high yielding site in Suffolk, 60 to 100 pounds, 100 pounds maximize our yields. What's interesting at Southampton is, and at the other two locations, there's a trend at those higher end rates at those low yielding sites, we hurt yield. And I think that's because of that fertilizer, that extra nitrogen, delayed maturity. We had two tropical systems come in that really hammered us late in the season. And that late maturity caused more hard lock, which resulted in decrease in yield. And then the only bump we saw it consistently, but it wasn't statistical, was just that first step up from 32% to 24.003. We saw that increase in yield. So just a little take-home message. I think we really need to look at these sufficiency ranges in terms of how they correlate to what's in the literature and where we need to be on cotton. And then set a petiole sulfur sufficiency range, which currently we do not have, but their producers are getting information on petiole sulfur. Biggest take-home message I saw from our plots, when we had high N rates and we had high sulfur rates, excess growth and rank growth was very dramatic. We couldn't defoliate those treatments. And so that's something we need to look at across probably maybe the Cotton Belt or at least in Virginia, is fine-tuning that sulfur. Sulfur actually looked like it had more of an impact on delaying maturity. And I think that has something to do with, if you put a lot of nitrogen on a low sulfur rate, you're going to get some sulfur deficiency in that upper part of the canopy, which is going to kind of hold growth in check. Whereas when you have adequate sulfur, that top part of that plant gets really rank, really dark green, and you have a hard time defoliating. And we also decrease yields at the higher end rates. So with that, I'll take any questions. Like, thank Fluid Fertilizer Foundation and Cercinda Low Curley for donating the fertilizer. But any questions? Yes. That was first bloom. We took everything in first bloom because we get a lot better correlation to yield and to nutrient, just availability and nutrient status of the plant when we do at the first week of bloom, and it starts to really tank later weeks. What do we consider deficient for petiole nitrate? So in our yield data, our threshold from some of our sufficiency ranges is 4,500 parts per million, is what we found. So Lewiston would be considered deficient. And I don't know why that site came back that low at that site. The yields are very low. I don't know if that's a moisture issue or maybe we were a week late or a few days beyond that first bloom and those petiole nitrates started going down. That could be.